Hello, friends. This is Pastor Bill Clark. Welcome to the podcast. Hello, friends are the first two words I begin each message that I get the privilege to share each Sunday. I get to tell my friends about the greatest friend, Jesus Christ. I also consider friends to be one of the greatest gifts a person can have in this earthly life. Most of the episodes will be messages I share each Sunday, but from time to time, I'll invite a friend to share some of their life with us over a beverage. I pray these episodes bless you and help you on this journey of life. God's blessings to you, friend. This is a message I shared at Timothy Lutheran Church on Sunday, December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Good evening, friends. A very Merry Christmas to each one of you again. So it's Christmas Eve. How are you feeling tonight? You feel a little bit like this guy? Are you saying to yourself, it's finally here. It's Christmas. I've been waiting so long for this night. Do you feel like our buddy Clark? I have memories that I want to make tonight, but it looks like that's not going to happen. And what has happened doesn't seem to be going as planned. I just want everything to be perfect. And it's not going perfectly. And my family, well, they're not helping matters any. You're feeling a little bit like Ralphie Parker this evening. Hoping that you get that one gift, right? That one gift. Instead, you fear you might get something that you really don't want. Maybe you feel like George Bailey. You're frustrated by many of the things in your life, and you're wondering why. Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy and cheer, and you only feel doubt and pity and darkness. Or maybe you just feel like this guy. Yeah? The Grinch. Bah humbug. I don't like Christmas. I don't like anything about Christmas. And if you like Christmas, I want to make sure that you don't like it either. I want to take your Christmas joy away. Well, these are just some of the emotions we can feel tonight. There are so many emotions, good and bad, joyful and sorrowful. We feel them all on Christmas. Many of us have probably had all the above feelings today. My hope is that as you set aside this hour tonight to just be still, with so many things going on, no matter how you're feeling, know this, that you are loved by God. You are loved even if you feel like Buddy, if you feel like Clark, you feel like Ralphie, you feel like George, or you feel like a Grinch tonight. Each and every one of you are loved just as you need to be loved by God. Tonight we celebrate the birth of Jesus, our Savior. The birth of Jesus changed everything. The birth of Jesus was one of the greatest acts of love ever demonstrated by God. When you question God and wonder if He's forgotten about you, look at all that He's done. Look at all that He's gone through for you. He did it because He loves you, only the way God can love you. When you think of the birth of Jesus, what comes to your mind? For me, it's all the miracles. There's so many. Think of all the miracles that happened leading up to and surrounding the birth of Jesus. Angels make appearances to Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. So many miracles to be found in the birth of Jesus. God arranges for the baby to be born in Bethlehem, as the prophet Micah had prophesied hundreds of years before. even though his parents lived farther north in Nazareth. But some of the miracles are so overwhelming. When we think about them, we wonder if they can even be expressed in human language and understanding. The mother Mary is about to give birth to a baby. She's still a virgin. The child who is born is God. God incarnate, God in the flesh, the Son of God. So many miracles. So many impossible events happening this night over 2,000 years ago. We could discuss them until next Christmas. But I only have you for an hour tonight. I want to focus on a circumstance regarding Jesus' birth that is not miraculous at all, but may very well be the most astonishing aspect of his astonishing birth. There was no room. There was no room. Now, of course, the simple fact that there's no room in Bethlehem for a mother and her husband and a baby is not surprising. We all know that a census was being taken and a great influx of people came into this little town of Bethlehem. And Bethlehem, being a small town, had not a great surplus of room available for visitors. Nor is it surprising to us that Mary and Joseph, in order to get a room for the most important child ever to be born, they don't tell people the nature of the child Mary is carrying. Because if they did, who's going to believe them? What is truly astonishing is that the Almighty God would choose such circumstances for the birth of his Son. The Savior of the world is being born. The one who came to take upon himself the guilt and sin of the entire world. The one who came to conquer death and open the gates of heaven to all who would believe in him. How can there not be room for him? And this Savior, the eternal Son of the Father, the child, is the one who made all things. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the one who gives breath to all of us who breathe, food to all who eat. How can he be born in a stable with an animal's feeding trough as a bed? Some would also say it's blasphemy that the Son of God should be received by his own creation in such a way. How could there not be any room for him? Except here in a stable that isn't fit for the birth of any baby, much less for that of God's Son. Because this is not the way royalty is born. But this is the way that our King is born. When our King, the Son of God, came to Bethlehem, there was no room for him. No room in Bethlehem for Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Israel. But what happened in Bethlehem on that night of Jesus' birth became the theme for his entire life. After Jesus is born, Mary and Joseph, they find a nice little place in Bethlehem, a little small house. Later on, the wise men come to worship Jesus. We don't know exactly how long that is. But shortly after the wise men left, the wrath of King Herod made it clear once again. There is no room in Bethlehem for this holy child. So Mary and Joseph, they flee to Egypt to protect their son from Herod's soldiers. No room in Bethlehem for Jesus. So after they spend some time in Egypt, Jesus' family returns to Nazareth, where Jesus grows up. Would there be room for Jesus in Nazareth? We're told in the fourth chapter of Luke that after Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit for his ministry, he went to the synagogue in Nazareth to speak. But when he tried to proclaim to the people of Nazareth the good news of the gospel, when he tried to tell them that the Savior had come, they took him up to a high hill and they tried to push him over the cliff to kill him. No room in Nazareth for Jesus. Jesus was thrown out of Nazareth. Later we're told on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus wanted to go through Samaria. He sent messengers ahead to find a place to stay, but the Samaritans made it clear, don't come here. We don't want you. Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, Jesus said. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. No room for Jesus in Samaria. Not long after, Jesus enters Jerusalem. Palm Sunday. The crowds came out to meet him. men and women and children sang his praises, welcomed him as their king, finally. But it only took 4 days. 4 more days, their adulation turned to crying out to Pilate against him. Rather than see Jesus let go, they demanded the freedom of Barabbas, a robber, a murderer, a traitor. No room for Jesus in Jerusalem. Well, Pilate wants to let Jesus go. He insists more than once that he had found no guilt in him. He was an innocent man. Let me punish him. I have found in him no guilt deserving death, Pilate said. I will therefore punish him and release him. He then whips Jesus. But the more Pilate defended Jesus, the more they cried out for his crucifixion. So Pilate released Barabbas and turned Jesus over to them to be crucified and killed. No room on earth for Jesus. Then came the strangest part of all. Jesus is crucified. He is racked by pain and thirst and insults. But the greatest torment, the greatest anguish of all is revealed as he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father pours out his anger on this man, Jesus, the one who has come to bear the sin and guilt of the world, to be punished for the wrongdoing of every man, woman, and child who has ever lived. And Jesus is also his son. God the Father punishes his own son, Jesus, for all the sins of the world. And so it is that Jesus dies for you and me on the cross. He is abandoned by his Father in heaven. No room for Jesus, not even in the Father's heart. No room for Jesus. It all began in Bethlehem. And it continued throughout his life until the time of his death on the cross. Why? Why must this be so? So that you would know, and I would know, that there is always room in the Father's heart for us. We know that this little baby came not to establish an earthly kingdom of power and glory, but to establish his Father's kingdom, in which there is nothing but forgiveness and grace and hope and life. We know that Jesus is our Savior who in his life and death took our place. We know that Jesus was obedient when we were not. He was faithful when we were not. He was compassionate and loving when we were not. He was honest and truthful when we were not. We know that he took our sin and suffered for it, our guilt, and he was punished for it. He was rejected and despised so that our Father in heaven could look at you and me and never reject us or despise us. We know that there was no room for Jesus in Bethlehem, in Nazareth, in Samaria, in Jerusalem, or in the Father's heart, so that to you and me the Father could say, there will always be room. There will always be room. There is room for you in this church, no matter what your past is, no matter how you failed, there is room for you. There is room in God's family for you, no matter how you have offended others or betrayed them or cheated them, or if they did the same thing to you. You are forgiven and so are they. There is room for you here. There is room in heaven for you. No matter how long you've strayed from God, no matter how greatly you've sinned against God, there is room for you. There will always be room for you. That's why the baby is in the manger, for you. So how shall we respond to such love? How shall we respond to the love of this child who was born into such meager circumstances for us, lives a life of obedience and faithfulness for us, and gives up his life to suffering and death for us, so that we may live forever and have a place always in the Father's heart? How shall we respond? This baby born in a manger, Jesus our Savior, has opened the heart of the Father to us. And in return, God wants us to open our hearts to him. Make room for me, is all God asks. Even at the celebration of his own birth, Christmas, Jesus is crowded out more and more. More and more, the people of this world are saying, there's very little or no room for Jesus in our lives. Maybe that's why you're feeling a little bit like this guy tonight. Ebenezer Scrooge, right? You came into service, maybe the weather's got you a little grumpy, right? You're feeling a little crabby. But since you've come into worship, you've had a little bit of a change of heart. Ebenezer Scrooge's heart was changed on one Christmas. A Christmas carol is a story that makes us feel good because they all lived happily ever after. But the lines of another Dickens novel more accurately describe the way Christmas feels for some of us. He begins The Tale of Two Cities with these famous words. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Christmas is the time of contrast. It's a time of prosperity. It's a time of poverty. It's a season of goodwill. And it's a season of ugly greed. Christmas is a time of family togetherness, and it's also a time of excruciating loneliness. It is a season of light and a season of darkness. Christmas is the spring of hope, and Christmas is the winter of despair. We all want Christmas to be the best of times. That's why we decorate and donate and shop and cook and put so much time into celebrating Christmas. But sometimes Christmas can be the worst of times. Whether tonight is, for you, is the best of times or the worst of times, the birth of Jesus announced by the angels, witnessed by the shepherds, and marveled at by the Magi leaves us with only one feeling, love. Love shown to us by a baby born in a stable. Love that shows us the love of God has for each of us. God made us in his image to love, to make room to love others and to love him. We pray to our Father in heaven that there will always be room in our hearts for this Christ child who brings salvation and life to all who believe in him. May the Holy Spirit work in us that we to whom this babe has been given may always belong to him. Let us join the choirs to praise him. Let us dedicate our hands and our heads and our hearts not to serving ourselves, but to serving him, to living our lives according to his will. Let us pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that every word that comes from our mouth, every act of our hands may glorify him who gave us his all. He gave us his only son, that there might be room in his heart for us forever. There is room in your heart for God. And he continues to write his story all the time. God put that love in a stable. May you feel the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of God this night and every night. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to the podcast. If you have any questions about anything that we share in our messages, any questions on faith, any just general questions, get a hold of me. I'd love to have a conversation. Thank you again for listening. Have a great day. God bless.